Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. Game 6, Habs, Vegas tonight. We'll tee that up with Ray. Get his thoughts on the Islanders storming back. They were down 2-0 last night. They win in overtime. And Dave Haxtell, the new coach in Seattle, who's been on the Maple Leaf staff for a couple of years. Yeah. And his name never once came up, ever. Never heard his name connected to Seattle.
Today it did. Pierre tweeted out. He's like, kind of sniffing around. Dave Haxtell's popping up. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Well,
then an hour later, Dave Haxtell's the head coach of the Kraken.
Yeah. I thought one of our insiders posted like 2 days ago that teams were looking at Maple Leaf assistants. Like that was just kind of generic. You know what I mean? I thought maybe, you know, lateral move.
Yes, I do remember that.
And I thought, okay, maybe it's a lateral move. Maybe they're looking to move on from, you know, Haxtell or Malhotra or something like that, like a shuffling of the deck. And then when Haxtell's name came today, I was like, oh, okay, like that may have been cryptically like he's in the mix. And it sounds like, just from reading our insiders that and Ronnie Francis's comments, like he interviewed as up to 8 guys, which is good. You gotta see him
at
multiple
process.
Times, right?
Yeah, like I think we all thought Rick Tocchet was getting the job, or it felt that way, with you know, their connection, Francis and Tocchet, and Tocchet's had a pretty good run, and seemed like a decent, you know, face of a new organization. And Haxtell, this is the thing about the way the Maple Leafs operate, and I don't think they're alone. It gets back to our conversation in the last hour, and even what we were talking about the other day with the Raptors, this cone of silence. The assistant coaches are not allowed to speak. So right. Dave Haxtell has been in Toronto for a couple of years. I've never heard him speak.
Not one word.
Not one word. The guy's in the biggest hockey media market on earth, and I don't know what this guy sounds like. I don't know what he's all about. Now he's the face of the Seattle Kraken. Now he's going up there.
Wasn't there a period of time, Hayes, where we had Pooley on a bunch, we had Steve Spott on?
All the time. Before once a week. Shanahan got here, everyone was speaking. Like, there was a time a decade ago where I was working somewhere else. The head coach was on every single week. Every
really?
Single week. Every single week. When Ron Wilson was here, every single week he was on. And every week.
He loved Jonas, didn't he?
Dude, he had some comments about Jonas that were hysterical back in the day. Like, it was, you'd ask him, all right, what are you thinking about the lineup tonight? He's like, honestly, I'm waiting for Jonas to come down to the scrum and tell me who I should start tonight. And he had some great liners about Jonas.
He's
and Jonas
actually
would play
pretty
it up well.
He's a pretty he's a pretty sarcastic guy. Like, if you talk to him, you know, off camera and stuff, pretty witty, pretty funny guy.
Yeah,
like,
he really was. And anyway, I mean, things have changed. Also, ownership has changed, and there's two, you know, sports radio in this town has changed, right. And media has changed. So there's a lot that goes into it in terms of being pulled multiple ways and access and all that kind of stuff. But you look at it this year, like, I don't think we've gone through the end of a season without having the GM of the Leafs on, and Dubas didn't come on with us this year. Every other year they come on. So
yeah,
even this year, and I know you lost and you were down 3-1 and all that kind of stuff, didn't come on. So, you know, it's just the way that they operate. It's the way things go. They're not alone. The Raptors do similar things. The Blue Jays do similar things.
I would think in Seattle, a new organization to a new market technically, like, you would want to be out there. And it wouldn't surprise me if Haxtell's doing that, not just doing the rounds, like, but I think he would be, and it would be smart for them to be out there a lot.
I'll tell you what, Noodles. Haxtell, it's bizarre to think for an expansion team, but I think if you had a top 10 list of people that are under the spotlight for next season, I'm guessing he would be one of them. After what Vegas did to start off their tenure in the National Hockey League, people are going to be like, all right, Seattle, your turn. Let's see what you got.
But you know what? The only reason I would go against that, or at least challenge that a bit, is let's see what their roster looks like. Now, I given that, you know,
no
we
kidding,
didn't think.
But you know how stupid people are.
Well, but in fairness, when Vegas chose their roster, nobody was like, hey, that team's going to the finals. William Karlsson had scored 9 goals the year before. He goes and gets 41? Like they drafted perfectly for what they were trying to build. And I would argue that they helped shape kind of what the NHL looks like right now, because wasn't Vegas, didn't they seem like the fastest team in the league? Like they built like the fastest team in the league right out of expansion. Like it was almost like they were going to fly and change the pace of the game, all four lines. That's the one thing I remember about Vegas that first year was like, man, they're fast. Like, and that was kind of their narrative. I would be a little cautious against Seattle because they're not going to get, you know, they're not getting Alex Tuch on a side deal, you know, that
yeah,
type
the
of stuff.
Chances
they're not getting Marchessault
them,
and Riley Smith.
Right. You know? I mean, that was a once-in-a-lifetime play. You know, like right. it's truly one of the most shocking runs in sports history, the fact that an expansion team went to the Cup Final their first year.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Crazy.
Like a 30 for 30 in and of itself. And the idea that Seattle could double down on that Cup Final, just I can't imagine there's even
not
a shot.
Happening.
Could you be a playoff contending team? I guess we've got to wait to see what the roster looks like. Right. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Dave Haxtell, the head coach down in Seattle, and no one saw this coming. I'd never heard his name come up. And yet there's going to be some pressure. I mean, O just said this a moment ago, Ray, with what happened in Vegas, whether it's legitimate or not, people are going to bring up the comparison. He's probably got to get the team rocking pretty early on.
Yes and no. I mean, like the pressure so is from guys like us or –
more or
you know,
less.
But it's not from, yeah, it's not from ownership, right? It's not from, like, they understand they're a first-year, or will understand they're a first-year team, and will understand that what Seattle did was remarkable, incredible. And I keep going back to all that BS that when, you know, as Vegas was doing really well and getting into the playoffs and they're winning a round and winning their second round, people started writing at that point, man, they got too much advantage from the league. They got too many good players, because nobody said that when they picked the team. Like when they picked the expansion team, guys, we can go back and read, there was zip on they got too many good players. They didn't. It didn't happen. William Karlsson had no goals in Columbus and then he got 40. Like who saw that coming? So I think there's pressure to be a good, to be a good competitive team. In the first year, they're not going to get Alex Tuch on that trade. But you know what they're going to get? I think are teams that are jammed against the cap, jammed, and they're going to have to trade players they don't want to trade that make $4 million. And Vegas or Seattle's going to be able to populate their team if they choose with that player plus getting a second round draft pick. I still think there's going to be a way they carve into teams' rosters. The teams don't want to lose.
Yeah, I think it's likely somewhere in between what Vegas did and what Ottawa did and San Jose did in Columbus and Minnesota, with all due respect, Noodles.
Well, but Hayes, Noodles and I were on those teams. We had no players. The league basically said, thanks for the $50 million, which is what the teams were paying at the time. You're going to get a bunch of rec league players. Like, that's how Minnesota ended up with Noodles, and that's how Atlanta got me. We got nothing.
Right. Yeah, so somewhere in between seems
we were cast-offs.
Yeah, maybe leaning closer to Vegas, if you're going to put it that way. Leaning. Yeah.
Right, I think they're going to – because they're going to spend – Noodles, you guys' payroll was – ours was $17 million
well,
in Atlanta.
I'll never forget – we were at the end of the year. It was right after the trade deadline, and I was sitting, I think, next to Fred Flintstone, Sean O'Donnell on the bench, and he said, would you look at what's going on the ice? And we were playing Colorado. Our payroll, I think, was at $11 million we had cut down, and Colorado had like $45 million on the ice on the power play, and they were zipping. It was Sakic and Forsberg and Blake, and they were – and Wah was in net. It was crazy. And he was just laughing. He's like, I hope we get out of this alive. Like as he was jumping over the boards to go and kill a penalty. Like that. That's how it was. By the end of the year, they had cut payroll and that. Like we were 15 to 20 million, I think. And I was like north of a million. I was a part of that. It was just crazy.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting too, Noodles, is like, and guys, is that we just saw in hiring Dave Haxtell, trying to get information, the insiders, from Ron Francis is like trying to get information from Lou Lamoriello. Like, nothing. Zip.
Yep.
Like, this morning, they were all hunting around, still trying to find out, because they knew it wasn't Tockett. But they couldn't, you know, and they, okay, we eliminate this guy, we eliminate that guy. Haxtell still wasn't on the radar. So trying to predict between now and then what that roster is going to look like is going to be almost impossible. Like, we're going to see who's available, and then there's going to be a deal, and a guy that you don't think is available is going to end up in Seattle. I think that's going to happen pretty frequently, and I think they're going to get some legit free agents that are going to be able to be offered an 8-year deal that other teams can't. Like, they can go, if you think Dougie Hamilton's good, and I do, you can offer him 8 years. Other teams can't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ray, what did you make of Crosscheck Gate last night? Noodles thinks Kucherov is gutless.
I did Hayes not say that at
Hayes
all.
Thinks Mayfield. No, I'm just kidding. But there was we
a
had
caller.
Kind of,
no. A caller thinks that.
A caller called in and said Kucherov needs more padding on his ribs. And Hazy B thinks Mayfield is a menace. Where do you stand?
I think Mayfield had two cross-checking penalties that neither got called. I don't know how they don't get called. I'll tell you what I would... Okay, so I'll get to Kucherov in a second. You know when he cross-checked Stamkos and he hit his face on the glass? And
he
got
had his
cut?
Nostril hairs resting on the dasher.
And the referee apparently said there was nothing malicious about it. So now the officials are determining whether it's malicious or not. So
whoever
I'd
said that's
around,
a donkey, man. Like, you just set yourself up
well,
for
that. Stamkos said in the press conference after that they didn't say anything, or they said it wasn't malicious. So wouldn't you just go around slashing guys and smiling and say, see, it's not malicious?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, what the hell are these guys doing? I don't want anybody to, I don't want people to lose their job, but Chris Lee's 2 feet from both of these plays. Like, what's he doing?
Right.
Like, whatever happened with Kucherov, whether he's going to play Game 7 or not, that's a whole other story. How could that not be a cross-checking penalty? Mm-hmm. How could the Stamkos play not be a penalty? But I don't think there's a... Not only have they lost the plot on officiating, I don't think they even know what the story is right now. Like, that's... Islanders were awesome. It was an awesome comeback. But that stuff's ridiculous, and the league looks like they're clueless right now.
Where I should probably defend what I was saying, or at least clarify, because I did not say, I said, I agree that was a penalty. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, that was a penalty, and I thought that Mayfield took a liberty and gave the old, like, complimentary, here, take this with you as you skate up the ice. So that's a penalty, and it's right in front of Chris Lee. But where I have a problem is the narrative where people say, well, that's a plug on a star player. It shouldn't matter. A penalty is a penalty, and the players, when you put your jersey on, it doesn't matter if you make $10 million or you make $1 million and you're a stay-at-home defenseman or you're a star player. You can't ref the game according to the jersey number. You have to ref the game on what the infraction is. That was my point.
Yeah, so it's not like before the season starts that each player gets handed a different rule book based on your skill level, right? You all get the same book. Like Mayfield, if Kucherov would have cross-checked Mayfield like that, I would be saying the same thing. It's a penalty. They even talk about when you extend your arms, that's a cross-checking penalty. When his arms were extended as far as they could go, like, how could that not be a penalty?
It is.
I hate that it's this big of a story, guys. I really do, because the story should be what an unbelievable goal to tie the game, and then the madness when they score, and that building, like, it's going to fall over, the building. Like, it's going to fall over. It was awesome to see that.
Well, and that's what we were talking about earlier, is this is, I don't know if it's conundrum, as much as it's just a reality of the sport, the way that it's played. It's a physical sport. You go on the ice, you could get hit. You know, you're skating around with weapons in your hands, or it can be weaponized, a stick. And Mayfield was the story of the night because of the goal and because of him knocking out Kucherov, because of, you know, the Stamkos cross-check that went uncalled. And if you're the Islanders, you're not apologizing for anything, nor should you. No one should expect that you would. But if you're Tampa, you're freaking out. And if you're the league, there's nothing you can do. Like, you can't change the rule book. The rules are what they are. But if you're being completely objective, you're sitting there saying, Kucherov, this is a superstar that people want to watch who may not be able to play because a guy took a liberty on him. And it sucks. But there's not much more depth to it than that.
So, yeah, okay. So, but players do get hurt, and there's times that there is a Game 7 and a star guy isn't playing. If Kucherov can't play Game 7, how does that benefit the league on an unpenalized play?
It doesn't.
Like, how does that benefit the league? It doesn't. And so they can say whatever they want. If the guys running the league think that's a good thing, they need to be changed. Like, seriously. If they think that's good for the game, they're living in 1974. It's time to change. Like, it's not good for the game.
That was caller Hayes' opinion as well. Because he's saying, like, the league is, you're selling star players, you're selling, you know, a product, all of that. I guess my point, and it came off, I think it came off maybe a little bit more barbaric than it wanted to be, is, like, there's no shame in being a stay-at-home defenseman who protects the net. You know, I love those guys. It's just, if you call the rule book, Mayfield is treated the same way as Kucherov. That's my point. Mayfield should be sitting in the box. Kucherov, if he's healthy or whatever, should be trying to score a goal on that point. But, like, I just hate the narrative. It's like, well, it's a plug. The plugs are getting the, like, no, there's a player out there who's got a different role than a goal scorer. He should be afforded the same rule book as a star player. The star players don't wear different jerseys out there.
Yeah.
Well, and to further your point, or to agree with it, Noodles, to another level, is that when they say, oh, you know, like, the league doesn't protect their stars. In a certain case, in a certain way, they don't. But I think respect should be afforded to everybody. In my mind, when you start differentiating stars to not stars, now you're telling officials to have their own rating system about who gets the break and who doesn't get the break. To me, I say this all the time, redefine what the hell a penalty is. If it's a cross-checking penalty and Crosby cross-checks, Scott Mayfield, well, then it's a penalty. And if Mayfield cross-checks Sidney Crosby, or in this case Kucherov, it's a penalty. Mayfield's just doing what he does. Man, if most fans saw Scott Mayfield skating around the ice by himself, they'd be like, oh my God, that guy's amazing. Which would tell you how amazing the NHL is, like how hard it is, how skilled even the guys that aren't qualified or aren't categorized as skill players, how good they are. Like, you don't know. You just don't know because how great the top end of the league is. Mayfield doesn't deserve more or less protection. He should have had two penalties last night, and he scored an unbelievable goal to tie the game.
Yeah, and now he's going to Tampa with his team, and it's tied at 3, and it's a coin flip, and we'll see what happens. And we'll cross that bridge tomorrow because we got a Game 6 tonight in Montreal. And it sounds as if Robin Leonard's going back in, and we had a discussion on this earlier, right? As a player, like, if you're Vegas, if you're Mark Stone, Pacioretty, Carlson, does it have any effect on you, your mentality, your thought process, the fact that it's going Leonard, Fleury, Leonard over the course of 3 games?
What should matter to them is 0-0-0.
And that's what they...
Yeah, they don't score.
Like,
they haven't done
seriously,
anything.
Like, the goalies aren't the story. I mean, it is cool, and it's a big story, but the goalies have... I mean, Fleury screwed up the one game by passing it off his own foot, and it turned out terrible for them. But the goalies aren't the story. The story is they can't score. So all those guys, they can worry about the goalie if they want, and my directive would be, as a coach, guys, like, you need to worry about yourself. We need you to score. We need you to create. That stuff, don't worry about it. They're not going to help us. Leonard's not helping you on the power play. So don't worry about him stopping the puck. We need you to score. We need to get 3 tonight because they can't do that even. Not in this series.
Well, and you look at Carey Price. John Liu tweeted this out earlier this afternoon. Price's numbers in an elimination game these playoffs, he's 4-0 with a 1.86 goals against and a .936 save percentage. So that's what you're looking at tonight. You know, like we discussed that yesterday. He played well in Game 5, but he didn't really have to do that much.
Steal it.
He didn't steal it by any means. He was just a part of the program. And this is what I think would scare me if I'm DeBoer and company tonight, is maybe you do start cooking a little bit. That's fine, man. You got to get inside the house, which is very difficult with this Montreal system and the Montreal Defense Corps. And then once you're in, you've got to beat a guy who has been a borderline brick wall throughout his career, let alone these playoffs, you know, in the biggest moments. So even if they start getting some odd man rushes tonight, who's to say Price just doesn't shut the door and it's completely irrelevant and it's too little too late?
Would anybody have guessed Montreal would be one win away from the finals without Carey Price being far and away the Conn Smythe Trophy winner? I wouldn't have. Like, I would have thought that it's not possible unless he's juggling knives back there. I wouldn't have thought it's possible. Like, he's been really good, but he hasn't been like Patrick Waugh of 93 or 86 when their teams were not great teams. I lost to them both times. And Patrick was by far the best player in the playoffs. Like, it wasn't even close. Price has been terrific, but he hasn't had to be that.
Well, they allow four shots a game.
They've been giving him support. That's the thing. I talked about this systematic play. Like, Dano's on a mission, and it's almost like once he gets the puck, he'll just cycle it. He wants to shut people down. That Paul Byron guy was on the waivers how many times this year?
Three
times. Like, he's, but these guys, like Lekkonen, who's a really good checker and a really fast skater. That's the one thing that I was thinking about this morning too, guys. Is everyone said, you know, they say like the skill at the bottom of the roster. The one thing that has changed in the National Hockey League, I would argue, in the last 15 years, is goaltending. Obviously, goaltending's continued to get better, but the bottom of the roster, you're not seeing big guys who are physical that can't skate. It is a mobile league. So even on Vegas, that William Carrier, he can fly. Like that fourth line in Vegas, like they can move. So if you can't score, you better be good at back-checking and checking and limiting time and space. And that's what's happened in Montreal is those guys who aren't putting it in the back of the net, they're making sure they're not getting scored on.
When the league opened up the rules, you know, the first time, and they were calling all the hooking and holding, and there was going to be more space. And I think everybody felt there was going to be way more offense, and there was early. The one thing I know I missed that I didn't understand was that I thought the speed was going to be great for offense. I didn't realize the speed was going to be a killer of offense because the guys just have no time. The guys have no space. Even when there's less hooking and holding, they've got no space to go anywhere because all these guys that maybe can't score or don't score, they fly. And so you got the puck, you've got a chance to make a play, and here comes some guy that weighs 200 pounds just smoking down the ice and, you know, back pressure like crazy. That, it's all gone. So it gets tougher to score the faster the game gets. I didn't see that. I didn't see that happening, and it's clearly a factor.
I think Marian Hossa was kind of one of the first guys where he was skating, and I was like, where the hell is that guy going? And that guy backchecked like I've never seen, and he was kind of, not that nobody backchecked before, but he was one of the guys that would bust his ass down, and he would bust his ass even harder on the way back, and it was like everybody was like, watch Marian Hossa do it. If he can do it, you can do it. And then all of a sudden, everybody started doing it.
Man, thankfully, I was retired by then because that was a game unfamiliar to me.
Shoot,
going
I was
back
like,
that fast, like
the left guys were water skiing.
No, the left D, it would usually be some stiff that had no interest in joining the play. And I was like, As long as that guy doesn't get up the ice, I am quite comfortable just wheeling around with him. Because that guy's not doing anything. I got my guy.
Brad Marsh snowshoeing
just
up the feather, ice.
Like, just anyone. Like, just not doing anything. Just some mutant left-handed shot that's not joining the play.
He had no second wave of attack. No interest. No. Not yet.
It's so true.
You had your guy in the video room the next morning. You could circle yourself and say, "Hi, guy, I got him. It's all good. I'm beneath the puck or
wasn't
beneath
that,
the guy."
Wasn't that what it was though? The guy would try and get up the ice, and you just hook your stick in and catch a ride with him.
But like, you know what, like, he would do skiing? Once a game, he would, to keep you on your toes, Noodles. He would act like he'd be sliding down the back door once a game, just to say, "Can I get away with it?" And you'd take two strides, and he would stop and go back to the blue line.
The other thing, it was in the neutral zone. If that guy would take a step or two, you just, like, get the hook on him and give him a little tug, and he'd go, "Nah." He'd, like, he wouldn't even, he'd just stop. He'd be like, "Ah, whatever."
The equivalent of an emergency break. Yeah, a little bit of a hook was the equivalent of an emergency break. I can't go through it. I just can't fight it. It doesn't happen. Yeah. The end is here. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy the game tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a good one, boys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today at MapleToyota.com. We missed out on the Wheel of Misfortune. We usually spin it on a Wednesday around 5:30, see what we're playing. We'll do that today. We've got Dave Hackstall coming up, the new head coach down in Seattle. He'll join us in about 40 minutes. Dreg still to come. The Jays back in action tonight. George Springer will not play tonight, but he is available to come off the bench. So maybe pinch hits tonight. Maybe it's a defensive replacement, but he will be available tonight. They're coming off two in a row. And actually, they've won four in a row. They just won two in Miami, but four in a row and back home in Buffalo against Baltimore tonight for four against the Orioles. So the chance to do some damage and move up the standings in the American League East. So we'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Okay, we missed out on it yesterday. Bobby Webster was calling in. So, you know, certain guys are willing to pick up the phone and call in, then we're willing to make an adjustment. And
by the way, in the future, we got to – like, I love Bobby Webster's. I love the GMs. But, like, let's be honest, Hayes. They don't give you anything. Like, it's
– it's not a lot. It's not a lot of information.
We got to forget about saying we're stopping the phone lines or anything. For like, it's nothing. Like, a fan could give the same answer. Like, it's
– well, I mean – yeah, maybe he gives you a nugget here or two. I mean,
dude,
we started the conversation by asking him who he's taking at fourth. You know, like that's how
help.
It went down.
That
like,
may not
he's
have
like,
helped.
All right, this is a
well, but
you know.
The thing is, you're trying to we're getting a guy like Bobby on or Kyle or Ross. Yeah. You try to get the reaction to things. They're not going to give you the information, and they don't know who they're taking at four right now. They don't know who's going 1, 2, 3, let alone who's going to be there at four and what they're going to do. He's obviously not going to give that answer.
And Bobby's a good guy. Kyle's like, they have a little fun and we'll joke around. That's about all you get out of the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because they don't want to cause a headline, and you can't blame them for that.
It's more so when it's a positive story, and that's what that was. You know, there's only so much you're going
to
get, and there's so many. Yeah, you know, we tried to ask him about Kyle. He's not going to say guaranteed
we're looking into
Lowry.
Kyle. He knows how important he is. That was the
answer. There's not going to be much more than that. But this is why I was disappointed Dubas wouldn't come on after they lost, because then you can actually ask him real stuff where you got to get an answer. Like, he can't just spit off, you know, nothing.
Right.
He's got to give you an answer. What happened? You know, what do you make of this? And he didn't come on. So, you know, we'll get to – he'll be on at some point in the future, and guess what we're going to do?
Well,
talk about
that.
Exactly. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Well, we'll revisit about, but he may have a key signing or a key trade where you're like, oh, let's talk about the trade. And then you circle back to it.
Absolutely.
But we're going to talk to Kyle. We'll talk to Bobby. We'll talk to everybody. Whoever wants to come on from Toronto sports scene, we're having him on.
Noodles. There you go. Doors are always open.
Doors are always open.
Wheel of Misfortune. Let's play. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see what we're playing on a Thursday afternoon.
will play George Costanza. I can do it. I know I can.
Oh, okay. This is a little bit different. You guys probably aren't familiar with this.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, this. Well, so we're going to play the role play, but it's not role play level of concern. All right? So this is what we did a few weeks ago. We're changing things up. Everything's going to be a little bit different.
Right.
And we figured we'd spice it up a little bit. It's the end of June.
Right.
Right? We're all excited. Are we excited for this or what?
So what is it? Role play level of concern?
It's just role play. We're all going to be associated a person. We're all going to be given a person, and we have to answer a question based on being that person. It's not that
complicated. If I don't like the person, I'm hitting skip.
Okay, well, you're not going to like this one because you're Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. You're Bobby Manns, your boy. All right.
I'll tell you what. Don't ask me to explain this like I have a brain.
Well,
go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah.
Man,
have What's you made Bobby a mistake man? With all this sticky stuff process? Like the whole scene that we're seeing in baseball, is this not on you,
yes.
Bobby Manns? Or
no,
what?
I will admit I am Bobby Manns, and I am also a dummy. I don't know. I think it might have been a caller on Overdrive said, you got to let the season play out. We're halfway through. Meet about it after the season. Meet with the players, meet with the owners, meet with the GMs, and then you come up with a game plan to deal with this sticky stuff. The players have come out and said, we don't want somebody getting hurt. One guy claimed he blew out his shoulder because he wasn't using the sticky stuff. So you're not going to make anybody happy, but they should have let the season play out and said, next season, this is just not happening. To start the season and have guys gearing down, walking off the mound, it's an embarrassment, and it's just a little bit shy of a more the same level of embarrassment as how you handle the Houston Astros. Oh, sorry, I.
Yeah, don't care who you are. You're having an identity crisis over there.
I am a donkey.
I don't know who you think you are.
I
Rob
am.
Rob Manfred is. All right, I like it. Noodles, you are Peter DeBoer. You were trying to put forth a front as if you're very confident tonight. It's all good. So what makes you so confident that you're going to win tonight?
Well, I think that they won last game, or I won last game. We did, me and my team.
Yes.
Won game four in Montreal in a hostile environment. And I had kahunas like Steel, and I went with my other goalie, who hadn't started in a month, and his last game was a 7-1 drubbing. So that's where I give the confidence, is I'm giving my team a different look, and I'm not going to be shy to go into the room and give the old cattle prod to a couple players and see if they'll respond for me.
Yeah, well, you better hope for it, man. Like Mark Stone, he is going to have to explain himself after this series if he doesn't do something tonight, and in Game 7 for that matter. The Carlson line. I mean, the right. Power play. You got a lot of fires that you're trying to put out tonight at the Bell Center. Okay, I like it. Hayes, I am Cade Cunningham.
Ooh.
Rick Cunningham.
Cunningham.
Are you actually happy that you'll be going first overall with the Pistons having the pick?
Can I
be honest with you guys? This is just between the three of us, right? No one else is
Rick.
No one else in the room. I am
Rick
Cunningham.
You're not going to be in Detroit long. Yes,
I'm furious because all they do is suck. You know, they won in 04. They won the title. Good for them. The past decade, give or take, has been a mess. Really, since them winning in 04, what are the Pistons known for? You know, what have they been known for? And, you know, I like Dwayne Casey. I've heard good things about Dwayne Casey. I hear he's a great guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing Dwayne Casey and working with Dwayne Casey as the head coach. But Detroit, it's just not a flashy town. It's a team that has really been driven into the ground the past decade. And there aren't any great players there waiting for me. So, no, if I'm being honest, it'll be a proud moment first overall in a draft. That's obviously something every kid dreams of. I used to dream of it as Cade, a.k.a. Rick Cunningham. But I didn't want the Pistons to win. I didn't want the Pistons to win. I wanted Houston to win. That's who I wanted to win.
What is the likelihood, Rick Cunningham, that you go back and look at some video in 1990 and you pull a Rick Cunningham Lindros move?
No, 0%. Not going to happen. That's not in my nature, you know. I'm not. I think I know who that Lindros guy is. he was a lot better than I was. Like, I'm a good player, very good player. I'm not Lindros, LeBron, Anthony Davis, you know, Sidney Crosby. I'm not right. in that category. I'm a very good player. I will be happy to go first overall, but if I'm being honest, I'm not that ecstatic with the idea of going to Detroit. All right, moving on. Oh, you are Carey Price. What, if anything, can rattle your cage tonight?
Nothing, because I am so dialed in, and there was a host of a show in Toronto that says I haven't had that much work, or maybe it was a guy that called in, but I am the best player in the playoffs. And I said to management, and I said to Richard Molson, the owner of the team, it's time to win. I don't have much time left, and I am showing that I am ready to win a Stanley Cup. It's Jean-Philippe Baptiste, and it's go time.
Richard okay. Molson.
I like it. All right. Carey Price, very happy, very yeah. excited about the game tonight.
Yeah,
and
dude, good. I guarantee you he is the best player on the ice tonight. You watch.
Well, if
you
he watch. Is, then Montreal's going to win. Wouldn't you think? I mean,
yes.
he could quite literally win the game by himself tonight. It's the nature of the position. That would be that's what's terrifying if I'm in Vegas. And yeah. what is easing my emotions yeah. a little bit if I'm in Montreal.
Hey, so what if Vegas is like, okay, boys, let's get the offense cooking tonight. They do, and Price is out of his ass. Like,
well, he, like made 30, he made 43 saves of 45. Wasn't that in game three?
Game three
in Montreal. He
yeah, they won game saves. Three. They had no right to win game three.
Right, and they should have won game four. Like, yeah. actually, remember, it was reversed. Like, they shouldn't have won game three. They should have won game four, and Price stole game three. I mean, that's the thing. It's a coin flip. I kind of feel like Montreal's going to do what they do, and we'll see if Vegas can have a response, because they've got to do something different to break through.
Like,
they really do.
An odd man rush, it's like impossible to conjure up through Vegas.
Right.
Like, it's amazing that Montreal is constantly in the right position. Or, furthermore, is not turning over bad pucks.
Right.
Like, just the nature of an odd man rush, it's usually one of the two. Someone jumps, someone's out of position, or it's a bad turnover that goes the other way. And it just simply hasn't happened. Like, you would have to believe, just based on history and probability, something's giving tonight. Like, someone's sure. going to get a breakaway in Vegas tonight. Right? Like, it has to. And if yep. you get it, you got to score. You have to score. You have to. Because they're probably going to be few and far between. Noodles, you are your boy George Springer. You are George yeah. Springer. Much like we asked Cade Cunningham a few moments ago, be honest with us. Are you really that cool with hitting fifth in the lineup?
No.
Like, are you actually really a team guy? Like, yes, you're a team guy, but you'd rather be hitting first, right? Like, be honest.
If I'm George Springer, which I am, I want to be the man. That's why I was paid to be brought in and all of that money. And I want to earn it. First, I want to get healthy, and I want to be available to the guys night in and night out. And I know this is a scheduled day off, still available to hit, but I think I'm a guy who wants to be a difference maker and show these young guys the path. So I'm going to do whatever it takes coming off injury. I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. But when push comes to shove, I want to be the man. That's how I feel as
yep.
George Springer.
That's right. Well, you got the biggest contract in franchise history. You yep. are the man in terms of your paycheck.
Agreed.
And in terms of the World Series MVP, I mean, you got a lot going for you. And I think you and I both know, and Charlie and Montoyo knows, everyone knows, it's a matter of time. You're going to get back into the one spot. All right, we'll wrap this party up with Brian Hayes as Lou Lamoriello.
Ooh.
And I think dressed appropriately for Lou. Feeling yep. good, looking good,
love
decent
it.
Suit.
Love it.
How happy are you? Again, honesty we're looking for. How happy are you that the Leafs continue to fail without you while the Islanders continue to flourish? Well, let me answer this in a couple of different phrases.
I have a follow-up for Lou. So
I
go ahead.
Okay. I was in the Hall of Fame before I even got to Toronto. I didn't need Toronto. I was already in the Hall of Fame before I got there. I've won three cups. I'm one of the great founders in the history of this game, one of the great architects in the history of this game. And I enjoyed my time in Toronto. Soto was great, working with Shanny, Babs, everyone included. We had good times. We had very good times. So you would think, with that being the case, that I'm above any pettiness. But you want to know the truth? I'm not above the pettiness. I love it. I love that I've been executive of the year twice. I love that my team is in the semifinals and going back to Tampa for Game 7, and the Leafs can't do anything. Can't do anything and haven't done anything ever since I left. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy. I wouldn't admit to it publicly, ever, but privately with you guys, sure.
Lou,
what's
do
your
you
follow-up?
Think you can win the GM of the year a third time in a row?
Why not? I don't know how I won it this year. I don't know how you win it back-to-back years. What did I really do in between last season and this season? I don't know, but I'll take it. And sure, why not? I can tell you this. I'm going to win another one before Dubas wins one. I can give you that guarantee.
The thing is I believe it's voted on by other GMs in the playoffs, correct? And it's other GMs and some select media members. I don't know if you saw this. Kyle Dubas got a first-place vote. One. He got one vote out of all of this. He got one first-place vote. And the voting, I believe, happened after the first round of the playoffs.
Really? I saw that he got a vote. I didn't know the timing of when they all came in.
Don't they have their name attached to it?
Well, to me, that's a media member.
It could be. Although I thought Dubas, out of character now, Brian Hayes again, I thought he had a very successful year as the GM. Like I did. I think he made the right moves and he brought in good pieces and trade deadline. And, you know, I thought he did a good job. You go out in the first round. I don't know if he's the executive of the year. I probably wouldn't have voted him as a top three executive of the year. But as I've said countless times, if Lou won it last year, what did Lou do between, like, last year? I got, he hired, you know, he brought in Trotz. I guess that was the year before. But they had made different moves and overcome adversity. I don't know how different his moves made this team compared to the team they had a year ago.
It might be that they lost their captain pretty early in the season, and he had some sneaky moves at the deadline, like a Paul Murray. You know, brought in Zajac, who scored some big goals here in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know what the criteria
those
was.
Those two things don't scream executive of the year.
No, exactly. And if that was the case in this timing, why wouldn't Julian Breezeball have won it last year? Because Barkley Goudreau, Blake Coleman, you know, like he made the moves too. I don't know. Listen, Lou's had a great career. In all seriousness, Lou, again, what happened with the Leafs, it happened. He moved on. He got back on his feet really quickly. And he was in the Hall of Fame before he got to Toronto. He didn't need to take that job, just like he doesn't really need to be still working in the island in terms of his resume and in terms of his legacy.
Yeah.
But he's had a good run. I'm sure he's, you know, proud of the fact that he is where he is. I don't know if he holds any animosity. He doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy.
I don't think he would.
He's not the kind of guy that's like, oh, I don't wish good things on good people. Like, Dubas is not a guy that's anything but likable, you know?
Yeah.
He's a likable guy, and I think he and Lou work pretty well together. Shanahan worked pretty well with Lou. You know, we're joking around, but I think he's in a good spot. You can't argue that. He's done a really good job.
I agree.
New York.
I don't think there's any animosity. I don't think that's what he's like.
Doesn't seem like it. No. Dave Hackstall coming up. Darren Dreger still to come. The Jays back in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Dave Hackstall coming up. Jays back in action tonight. The NBA playoffs have been wild. Trae Young, this is his coming out party, right? Like, he's been doing it throughout the playoffs, and he was a high pick. He and Luka got flipped for each other on draft night. I'd say both deals worked out pretty well. I'd still take Doncic, but Trae Young is not.
That's why Trae Young is so jacked at what he's doing, because everyone was, all the rage was Doncic is the best player in the game. He's the next thing. And everyone's like, what a joke what Trae Young is doing in that garbage team down in Atlanta. Now he's kind of saying, here I am too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he, like, his numbers last night, there was someone posted a stat that was wild, that he factored in on, he either created, assisted, or scored 80 of the 108 points Atlanta scored last night. Like, everything goes through him. He's the new Steph Curry, right? Like, that's kind of where he's going. He plays with flash. He do it all. He shoots the ball.
Yeah, he had that one alley-oop play that was off the glass. That was, he's doing sick stuff.
It's like street
out
ball
there.
Almost. Yeah. Like, he's at Rucker Park, basically, out there, and it's the Eastern Conference Final. So, Trae Young is a beast. But you know, Milwaukee finds himself in a familiar position. You know, they had to crawl back into the series. They're only down 1-0. But it kind of feels like Phoenix is going to roll. Chris Paul's back. He's in the starting lineup tonight. You know, feels like the Suns might win that in like 5, especially if Kawhi doesn't come back. And then in the East, I don't know who beats the Suns out of Milwaukee and Atlanta. I think Milwaukee would have a better chance, but the Eastern Conference has not been great. You know, there's, and I think if you're a Raptor fan, that's a positive. You're like, okay, can we get back on our feet here and make a little bit of a push and maybe be a competitive team in the East next year based on the way things are playing out right now?
Well, it's such a pivotal game for the Clippers because you're down 2-0.
Must win tonight.
Like, you've got to win. Like, you got to win on home court.
Never happened in NBA history, a team down 3-0.
Which is crazy, too.
Crazy.
Which is actually crazy. Like, that actually is an indictment stat. I really do think it's an indictment.
Yeah. It's we're packing our bags now, and thanks for coming out.
It's a U-Haul stat.
It's a U-Haul stat. The Clippers lose tonight. U-Hauls in L.A. are being booked immediately after the game.
Exactly.
Final hour coming up. Dave Hackstall, the new head coach in Seattle, has been in the bench or behind the bench here in Toronto for a couple of years. We'll ask him about his experience in Toronto as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.